Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Well, welcome. Here we are this afternoon having a conversation. This is Susie Furtwängler and
Betsy Edgerton.
All right, and we are Unapologetically Catholic.
You bet you.
Well, today we're talking with some of our favorite people, some of the people we love the most, our partners in education, some parents from our school. And we have Kimberly Angelwood here from St. Thomas. And we have Maureen Morosky here.
Happy to be here. Thanks for asking.
And Susan Whitney Brown.
Present.
And accounted for.
You took the words right out of my mouth. We are today going to be talking about Catholic education for your children, why you happened to select Catholic education, and what were some of your non-negotiables or some of the things you were looking for. And I thought it would be fun if we started out with what you were looking for school-wise, whether it was a public school or a Catholic school. What were some of the things that you thought were important for your son or daughters when it came to going to school for the first time? And I'm going to start with Susan, who's sitting right here to my left.
Well, first of all, again, thank you in all honesty, Betsy and Susie, for having us here. Well, I think for us, my husband Kevin and I, we definitely look just in general in education for our children for excellence. It mattered to us that excellence pervaded whatever institution we selected, from school to sports to a culture of constant progress and thought process around where the school was going, not only in the short term, but in the long term. We also were thrilled to find seeds of innovation. So, for instance, it mattered to us to look, in our situation at St. Thomas, that there was not just a school, but a school with a greenhouse. Not just a school, but a school that was reaching out right next door to provide service opportunities at the Holland home that exists next to St. Thomas. We also definitely wanted a school where parental involvement was not just, allowed, but advocated.
And that encouraged.
That was really important to us.
Right.
It's not just will we be able to be there, but are you inviting us to be there? And we actually became better researchers on schools after our tour with Principal Furtwängler, because she said two things that we'll never, ever forget. One is, hey, you know, look around at the schools that you're going to visit and see how their middle schoolers, how their high schoolers turn out. Anybody can have cute little preschoolers, and they do. But look at what types of students and adults they're building, which made a lot of sense to us. And the second feature that we learned just in our short tour at St. Thomas was giftedness is present in every child. And so while we did the typical, you know, do you have a gifted and talented program, et cetera, once we had that conversation about all the different facets that would be available to our children that we knew they needed now, but that possibly could be there available when we found out that they had a particular need, we were put at rest. So that notion that, you know, your child and every child around your child has a gift, and we will help that gift unfold, was amazingly comforting to us. And after that, we had that as a baseline for every school that we talked to.
Wonderful. Thank you. Kimberly, what about you?
My situation was a little different because I was kind of behind the eight ball being a first-time mom. I'm like, okay, I wonder where I should send my kid to school. And it's like April. And I should have been registering at that point already. And my friend who is the Spanish teacher said, well, have you looked at St. Thomas? I'm like, no, where is it? Lo and behold, the best kept secret in Grand Rapids was three blocks away from my house, embarrassingly enough. So I went to visit, and some of the things that just really impressed me was the volunteer, like Susan had mentioned. The volunteer rate is, what is it, Susie, like 95%?
Yeah, 97%.
97% at St. Thomas. And then all of a sudden kind of hit me like, wow, this isn't just a school. It's a community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can bank that there are other mamas there watching out for your child if you're not there, because we all mother everybody's kids. And it's a very safe feeling. Mm-hmm. Rigorous economics, or not economics, but education, was really at the top of the list. You know, everybody wants their kid to go to the best school, so to speak. And so, we wanted a school that would, you know, let your child thrive and grow. And also the sense of community as far as outreach really impressed me about St. Thomas. They, you know, plant flowers next door for the old folks home, or they do this. They have so many service projects. And growing up in a public school, I never really had service projects. I was very involved in my church and mission trips, but that was never part of my schooling. Mm-hmm. So I was very, very impressed about that. And I'm like, wow, that is a good thing to look for in a school. So,
you know, I think it's important to note here too, Kimberly, that, this is true in all of our Catholic schools. It's amazing. I mean, we're a little jaded here because we're all from St. Thomas, but I personally know all the other Catholic schools, and I can tell you that those very things, to one degree or another, are happening all over Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo right now with the Catholic schools. It's a ministry for the teachers there. And I think you feel that sense of family in all the schools. You know, each school family is like any other family. We all have our own personalities. And we're very blessed that you three parents were in love with us. But every single one of our Catholic schools, this is one of the features I think that's the most important about our Catholic education is the involvement of parents, and that helps make that community, that sense of safety, that sense of community raising the children together. And as Susan said, you know, innovation and excellence, it's always been a hallmark of Catholic education. So whether we're talking about St. Thomas or any of the other great Catholic schools in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo, that's a big reason to send your child to a Catholic school, I think.
Well, if I might add to that, Susie, and you're exactly right. All of our Catholic schools, both in the Grand Rapids Diocese and the Kalamazoo Diocese, but we have something that other schools don't have, and that is the ability to talk about God. And that yes. makes all the difference in the world. That mm-hmm. is, we just had a conversation recently with some of our staff members, and we talked about the fact that if we didn't have God to use when you were talking discipline, or when you were talking celebration, or when you were dealing with an issue that you weren't quite sure how to solve or resolve, the ability to use God in every single one of those circumstances makes it such a very special place. Mm-hmm. So I agree. Maureen, what about you?
Well, I think it was really easy for us to make this decision just because we're my family, we are longtime parishioners, you know, probably going back 30 or 40 years. And I had the luxury of having a sister and brother-in-law with kids in St. Thomas starting off 3 years before we even did. So I heard all the stories. I knew all about you. I knew I wanted my kids to be in your program, Betsy. And it's just been positive from the get-go. And this is now our ninth year. And it's not, it's nothing that, the part that is not as easy possibly is just that it's not convenient to go to the school at any, in any way, shape or form, because I probably pass four schools to get to our school every day. And there are a lot of days that I travel to the school four times, you know, but.
And you're in a good school system too.
Right. Yep. My fallback system is Forest Hills, and that's great. But, you know, nothing, no one ever said that it would be easy to make the best choices for your children, but I know it's worth it. Mm-hmm. So it's been great and fun. I've said before with my kids that I don't know who gets more out of St. Thomas, my kids or me, because if they weren't at St. Thomas, I don't know what I would do, because those the moms and the parents, like you said, they are so much a part of my life that it would be I would be kind of empty without St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk for a minute about that community, because Susie and I had the opportunity to have lunch with Father Jim recently, and that's one of the things that we really relish the most. It's not necessarily in any of our Catholic schools about filling the seats just because we want a body in them. It's about the community, because that's what our faith is all about, being there for one another, envisioning what's going to be coming down the road as a community and how we can work on that together. So let's talk about community and some of the benefits of the Catholic education for your kids with community.
Well, I can think of one right away, if you don't mind, girls. I've just had the experience in the last couple years, because we're all kind of the same age. I'm probably older than a lot of the moms in my kids' classes, because I was 40 when I had Kaylee, 37 when I had Charlie. But, you know, we've gotten to the point that a lot of our parents have been ill. Some of our parents have passed away. Some have struggled with cancer and different things. And so I think a really comforting note is to know that your girlfriends know exactly what you're going through, and they're the first ones there to be with you, to pick up your kids, to bring you meals. They are living it with you because they see you all the time. Just the sheer fact that we are at pickup and drop off constantly, and the Mass on Fridays. I know if I miss a Mass on Friday, my kids are sad, because they like, that's my little snuggle time with them. But also, I mean, I miss it because I feel like I get more out of that Friday Mass than even the weekend Masses, because they're so powerful. And Father Jim is such a gift when he speaks mm-hmm. to the kids. Maybe that's just my level, but I get a lot out of that one. And so, so that's just a really, that is a gift. And we mentioned once about loving all the kids. Another friend of mine who is a mother at our school, in fact, I waved her this morning. She's a very successful surgeon. And we talked one time because I was kind of keeping my eye out for her little boy on a field trip. And she was like, oh, I wish I could do more things like this. And I said, no. We need you to be doing what you're doing, because you're the best in the city. And I know there's probably going to be a time that I need you myself. And I said, you never need to worry. You know, we are watching him and her other children just like they are our kids. You know, we love them just as much. And so it's a real nice thing to know that we've got such talented parents, and if they can't be at every little thing, that they don't need to worry, because we are there.
And that's one of the things. We run a program at our school called A Lap Time, and it's for those babies that are 0 to 5 and they're not yet enrolled at St. Thomas. And just recently we held a lap time where one of the moms came up and said to the group of people there whose children have not yet entered St. Thomas, they're just coming to lap time, that not only have you broken out the walls of a traditional classroom by providing, you're our first teacher for our children, St. Thomas or any of the other Catholic schools in our diocese that are running lap times now, which we're very, very proud of them for doing, but we've blown out those walls and we've introduced children to lap time learning, pre-literacy skills. But this mother said, you've provided me a newcomer to Grand Rapids, my community. This is where I know I want to be. These are the people that I wait to see every Tuesday. And I know at other schools it's on Thursdays or Wednesdays, but these women and men, some of the stay-at-home dads, look so forward to coming together and seeing each other on a weekly basis. It's their community, and they can't wait to get into where you, Maureen, are, or you, Susan, are. So I see you're writing a note down, Susan. What do you want to add?
Well,
I see those wheels of that brain going around.
Yeah. Yeah, you know the signs. Thankfully, they're still moving.
Makes me nervous.
I come from a slightly different standpoint. I had a principal of a public school once say to me that the three legs of a successful child are the teachers, the family, and the community. And that stuck with me. So I don't think that there's any school out there that is bereft of some sense of community. I think it's, what is the community based on? And do you have a community that is based on geographic lines? That can be very powerful and can lead to some very interesting diversity as well as similarities. And in our case, and in the case probably of many of our listeners, we have the comfort of knowing that the community is based on the knowledge that Jesus lived, died, and rose again for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a tremendous comfort level with which to leave your child with someone when they have to be picked up, with which to know that someone's going to take care of your child when they happen to be at school sick and you can't get off of work to get them, et cetera, et cetera.
I think, too, to know that everyone is approaching education from the same standpoint, and that is from their faith. From the minute they arrive on the doorstep in the morning till the time they go home at night and then come back for a meeting.
That's right.
Many of our parents are so involved. But from that moment that they arrive to the time they leave, that everything that is done through the eyes of faith. And the children are steeped in it all day long. Some of the richest, most amazing faith-filled moments I've had have been with kids. Mm-hmm. Just the things that they come up with and the things that they see and the interpretation that they have, it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Kimberly, you have a little different situation. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I just want to add one thing to the whole community thing. You know, everybody would drop their kids off at kindergarten on the first day of school, and they'd be all teary-eyed. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you later. It's the last day of school that I get teary-eyed, because all these people that have been a part of my life, every single day, I see most of them more than I see my own mother, sadly, but I'm not going to see them for 3 months, and I choke up, you know, and that's, to me, that's a real sense of belonging and and community. My situation is a little different because I am the token non-Catholic at this table.
And we embrace you.
Yes, we do. I know you do, and I appreciate that. When there was a little bit of hesitancy when I enrolled Enzo into a Catholic school on some of my relatives' part, but I so felt the Holy Spirit when I walked into that school. I just knew that this was a faith-filled place and that he would be surrounded by faith-filled people. I can honestly say that my son is almost so much further spiritually than what I ever was at fourth grade. In second grade, when everyone else was getting ready for their communion, first communion, my son and I were doing devotions one night, and I was scheduled to be baptized on Tuesday. And this was the weekend, and my son just looked up at me after reading Jesus Calling devotion. He goes, "You know, Mom, I never have to worry because Jesus is always with me. He's in my heart."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's right. You're right. He is, you know. And mm-hmm. so we prayed the prayer of salvation, and he was actually baptized alongside with me on Tuesday. And it was just interesting how it coincided right along with St. Thomas. And I have to say also,
it's really special.
It was. It was really neat. And I have to say also that it has made me it has made me stronger in my faith, in the fact that I have to research why do I believe that it's a representation of the body and the blood versus becoming. Why do we not have reconciliation with our pastors and stuff?
And you're so Baptist, correct?
I'm Protestant, I guess. Yeah, I go to a Baptist church, and so it's made me stronger in my faith, but also I've learned so much about, I've grown as a human being, just being around you wonderful Catholics, the sense of service. Sometimes those of us that are saved by grace can get a little lazy. And, you know, I volunteer so much more than I ever would have in a different life or at a different school, because I see the value of service. I see how it brings you together as a community. And that's one of the things that really drew me into the community with St. Thomas, was volunteering. And I got to know some wonderful people like all of you here.
Susan, what would you point out as some of the highlights of Josie's career, at her long career in kindergarten?
She started in the preschool.
Yes, she did, in a Catholic school. I know what some of mine are because she makes my face smile every time I see her. But
when she will grow up not ever being afraid of the principal's office as I was.
Nice.
To be in the principal's office, as you mentioned, with all the opportunities for meetings, and she finds it to be a joyous place. I think for Kevin and I, and we discussed what I should say, and then I decided what I would say, as many couple conversations go. And for us, we were adamant public school people. We came looking for a very good preschool. And in our previous hometown, Chicago, and then here in Grand Rapids, we found that the best public school was in a Catholic church. And we said, well, we'll go for preschool, and then we'll be right back to the public school. And we kind of treated it as a social statement. We were both products of public school. We knew we were going to raise our family Catholic, but we thought it was making a statement about the importance of diversity, both economically as well as other facets of diversity, and really a commitment to esprit de corps in a school area. And then there was one day, and I remember it brilliantly. Josie was in pre-3. It was right before Christmas, and she was watching a Blue's Clues video.
Not at school.
No. No. Now, for all the kids out there, I know you know this. Whose Clues? That's
Blue's
right.
Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues. Mrs. Salt and Mr. Pepper. We love saying that in our family. And
Paprika.
That's right. They had a beautiful multicultural lesson about what all different faiths and cultures were focusing on at that time of year. And I remember the question that Joey asked, because it's not Steve anymore. He went off to college. It was Steve when Austin, our 16-year-old, was little. Now it was Joey for Josie. And he said, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Christmas, what do you celebrate at your house? And it was one of those moments where I leaned around the family room wall to hear what Josie was going to say. And she very confidently said, Jesus's birthday. And it was at that moment that I thought, we've been thinking about this wrong. We've been thinking about what can she get at school and then what can we give her at home? And what we should have been thinking about is, what is the depth of learning that we can give this child? And it just changed everything for me. And when I shared that story with Kevin, we just had a lot of conversations after that, because we realized that we could give her continuity, a depth. So instead of just talking about Christmas, she could talk about Jesus's birthday at school. Instead of talking about leadership, she could talk about servant leadership and Jesus's challenge to us. Instead of talking about sex education, she could talk about theology of the body and morality and chastity as it's meant for us, and the beautiful gifts that God has given to us. So that depth of meaning became a different paradigm for us in terms of how we thought. And so now we are transitioning to another state. We're moving to Minneapolis. And the first thing that we looked at were Catholic education for our child. Finally, we, and that's why I loved what Maureen said earlier, as well as Susie, we learned the lesson. Mm-hmm. It was our lesson to learn, not Josie's, of what is our role as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you agree with that, Maureen?
Well, I'm just sad to hear that you're leaving.
I know.
Didn't know that until a second ago.
Somebody passed the box of Kleenex.
Well, yeah, I agree with everything she said. You for president. Well, there's there are lots of days that are great days. And I, too, have heard some really neat things that just bring tears to my eyes when I talk about it a little bit further with my two kids over the years. And I think that every parent like me probably thinks about, well, maybe I'll just stick them in a public school for a year and see how it's going. You know, sometimes the kids want to go where the neighbors are going or this and that. And I have had those conversations a lot. But I just keep saying, you know, you have to always believe that mom and dad love you more than anything. And no matter what it takes, we will put you in the best school in the city, no matter what. There's no cost barrier. There's no distance barrier. If there was a better school in our area than St. Thomas, you would be in it.
Well,
period.
And you drive like 20 minutes pretty much into school, which is what I do.
Half hour in the morning. Yeah, well, yeah. We're both way out there.
But, you know, it's what when we moved, I'm like, okay, let's take a look at this because I have another school that's like a mile from my house.
Yeah,
literally.
And I think I'm closer to that school too, actually. Going to that school for basketball games, I said, okay. Mike, we're closer to this other school.
But I look at it as, you know, you've got the financial cost. Well, exactly. You've got the financial cost. You've got the drive going in. But I thought to myself, am I going to look back when my child turns 18 and go, it's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can sacrifice 40 minutes a day.
Well, and you know what else you get from that, though? You get a lot of great conversation that I wouldn't, like, we've had talks.
Yeah.
I can't really carpool with anyone. Coming up, we'll be moving, and there's a chance to carpool once in a while. But I said, oh, I don't know. My kids are really crabby at the end of the day, and I don't want anyone else to have to. But the real reason is because I want that story.
Yes.
I want to be the first one that hears it. And I've learned, you know, you have to be halfway home before you say anything because they are, you know, there's a lot going on in their heads
right.
when they first get in the car. I just supply the snacks and drinks. And as, it, you know, we progress home, little by little it comes out and each one's a little bit different. I know what to say and what not to say now. But even on the drive in, we can have a really good, I mean, I feel like, and you probably agree, we are really motivational speakers. And I have given some of my best talks
absolutely
on the way to school, mm-hmm. you know, firing them up. Boy, mm-hmm. are you lucky. You are so lucky that you get to be doing what you're doing today. And those are priceless to me. I wouldn't get that if they were on a school bus, even though it probably would be fun for them once in a while to be on a bus. But, each – and that, again, you know, you have to look at it as these are all little gifts. Even though they may not be wrapped up with a pretty bow, it may be something that you're kind of bummed about at first. Like, oh, my gosh, I've got a 30-minute drive every morning. You look at it in a different way and you think, wow, I have 30 minutes with my kids in the morning.
Yeah.
They might be eating breakfast in the car, and that's okay, too, because if they get up late and they don't eat, no big deal. We've got the whole car ride. But those are great times, and I'm sure that when they're older and off to college, I'm going to be really missing that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think it's also an investment in their spiritual life. I mean, isn't that our role as parents, is to make sure that we raise these kids?
Mm-hmm. Our job is to get our kids to heaven.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And, you know, it's worth the 20-minute drive. It's worth the tuition.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's what I'm looking at. It's this investment in my son's spiritual life.
Your son. Enzo is a very quiet young man. He's very shy and quiet. And he came to me not too long ago. I hope this isn't the story you were going to share.
I don't know.
Well, he wanted to start a Lego club.
Oh, yeah.
And I helped him work through all the work he would have to do to put this club together.
God, the legal document. The corporation.
I wanted to make sure it wasn't the idea of the day. You know, it wanted to be something he really wanted. So he did all the work for it. And we secured the library because I figured it'd be Enzo and two of his little friends that would show up
yeah.
for this Lego club. And it turned out he got 25, 30 kids. We moved locations.
So cool. Yeah.
But the very first thing we said was, who would like to, or Enzo, would you like to start with a prayer? And Enzo, you know, is so quiet and so shy. He didn't hesitate.
Yeah.
He didn't hesitate. He asked everybody to get quiet, and he did the most beautiful extemporaneous prayer. I know adults that can't praise off the cuff as nicely as he did.
He's adorable.
He just had a conversation with God, and now every time we have Lego Club, he always gets everybody quiet and then starts with a prayer. And it's just beautiful to see that spirituality in a child, just so innocent and so pure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's times where he corrects me. I mean, we were in a parking lot, and this lady was blocking where I was trying to go. I'm like, come on, Grandma, just pull it forward. And Angela's like, Mom, you know, that's not very nice to call someone Grandma. I'm like, well, despite the fact that she's 85, you're probably right. I shouldn't be calling her Grandma. Just Mommy's in a hurry. But he does. He does it, and he does it in such a loving, sweet spirit. I'm like, you're going to be a great manager someday because you know how to correct, but not in a derogatory way, like his mother. Yeah. And he's just, and that I totally attribute to St. Thomas. They're really pulling him out of his little shell. And
I get corrected by my kids too.
Do you? Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I have a non-Catholic husband myself. And although my children are older, they were able to bring home the lessons of the Catholic school. If I might say, we live very close, similar to you, Kimberly. We were two blocks away. And when it came to selecting a school, we had a public school on one end of the street and a Catholic school on the other end. And my husband said it was a real difficult decision for him. So we positioned him right at the picture window at 7:45 in the morning. And for 1 week, he watched children. And those that were headed towards the Catholic school were laughing and joking and happily going on their way. And those that were headed to the public school were kind of like, off to work today. And that really sold him on that. But now being in the position I am, where our children are in their 20s, we often reflect on all the lessons they brought home from their Catholic school to share, to say to my husband, Van, no, that's not appropriate. We're bucket fillers at our house. We're not bucket dippers. And this is why we do this at Stations of the Cross. And it was interesting, their interpretation of it. But I believe that it put them in a teaching mode with him. And mm-hmm. that then went from just teaching him to the neighborhood or to classmates or to whatever. And I think that's one of the things that Catholic schools do for children mm-hmm. is it empowers them to talk in a faith-filled way, to say what would be a better choice right now. Mm-hmm. And that at the early childhood level is something that we work on all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. These four walls that we tell parents that we're in right now are an opportunity for your child to try things out. They're in a very safe, positive, faith-filled environment. So let's give them some skills and they build upon those and masterfully all the way through the regular elementary into the junior high years. Each year it's like building dominoes. And I've seen Maureen, your children do it and they do it beautifully. I didn't have the opportunity to have Enzo, but I've watched him over the last few years. And even Josie from 3-year-old preschool and on up, they just are able to build it all and put it in order for themselves. And I believe that Catholic schools have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. So we stepped away from highlights, though. Because Susan shared that about Josie being, you know, it's Jesus's birthday. What are some highlights that you, Kimberly or Maureen, might have about Catholic education that your children have come home and said, yay, this was such a cool day because?
One thing pops into my mind. I don't know if it's exactly what you're asking for, but at St. Thomas, they're able to be part of our sports programs when they're fifth graders. So now Charlie's been here for preschool, 3s, 4s, kindergarten, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 years, and he's finally on the basketball team. And my husband and I are both, you know, we're sports nuts. And so we were, you know, really excited about this. But I have to say, I wasn't prepared for what was going to happen when we went to that first game at St. Thomas. I'm just thinking about it, kind of getting emotional, but we got in there, we warmed up, there's loud music, and it's a whole new ball game where I was friends with some of the parents in my kids' classes, you know, for whatever reason, we were just friends. But when you're on a sports team, now you're with all the little boys families, which I didn't know all of them, but it's just so much fun. They gather around with the other team before the game, and they go every other, like St. Paul, for example, and the coaches, and they get into a big circle in the center of the court, and they pray. And first, you know, we welcome you to St. Thomas, and then they say a prayer. And I was just losing it because it was so special. I still have that picture on my phone. That they get it. That's first and foremost. You know, we're going to play a game, but at the end of the day, we're all just friends, and it's just a game. And they get it. And the parents check each other, you know, about yelling and things. It's just a game, you know, relax. They're not in the NBA, and they're probably never going to be in the NBA.
Don't tell the kids.
That's right, basketball, right. But that has been really special to me to see how Charlie reacts to other teams. And he'll say things if teams are not doing the things that they should do. He'll comment like, wow, that school, their coach isn't telling them the right things because they're doing this and this and this, and they're saying this and this and this. And we know that's not right. We would never do that. So they're getting it. They're getting not just, you know, basketball skills, but they're getting life lessons from, again, it's another new teacher for them. It's a coach.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Forgive me. I don't want to appear that this is a St. Thomas advertisement, but if you like to go on the internet and just make yourself weep, which I love to do, do take a moment to go to stthomasgr.org, because on our athletics page, there is a video of Coach Enns.
Oh, yeah.
An amazing, amazing member of the St. Thomas Parish, as I'm sure there are many people like Coach Enns at Catholic parishes around the country, probably around the world, inspiring youth through their ministry as an athletic coach. Mm-hmm. And to honor him, there is a video, and it just again, to me, it says what more everything could be, not just teaching children technology, but teaching them how to minister through technology, not just teaching children sports, but teaching them how to be builders of faith and builders of community through sport. And if you're not grabbing for a tissue at the end of the Coach Enns speech, then call in at 1-800-8.
You need help.
We'll pray for you right now.
You know, Susan, that's an excellent point. Yeah. Because as a principal, I've got the privilege of being in many meetings every week, and I get to rub shoulders with the other principals, with coaches, with GRASAC, our Catholic School Athletics League, and I am inspired every time I go to any of those meetings by the level of faith and the level of commitment that people have to Catholic education. And I'm always just so impressed that we are surrounded. We're the best kept secret. Catholic schools are the best kept secret. I think that the innovation that's happening in our Catholic schools right now, I just think it's just awesome. And I think with our new Pope, just the level of excitement about our faith and evangelization is just blooming and blossoming. You can feel it in the air.
Absolutely.
Right. And I just think that we're so blessed to be in this ministry, and so blessed to have partners, as you are. Our parents are our partners, because we're growing something very, very beautiful together.
And we have the typical issues that other schools have. So, for instance, you know, we struggle, as any school would, about the proper use of our funding. You know, budget conversations, though, are so much easier when we can stop, take a moment, and pray for God to be amongst us.
Right.
And for His will, not any one of our particular wills, even though we all have our favorite budget item, to be present. It's just, it's a completeness. It's the truth, mm-hmm. completeness in the way that we were meant and allowed to be. It's to us, and I'll get off my bully pulpit in a moment, but it's the ultimate outlet of democracy, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. us to be able to live within the walls of our child's educational institution in the way that we live within our home.
Right.
Well, and I think that's one of the highlights for me with the Catholic education is I can see how my son looks at the world so differently than other kids you know. It's the, ambulance goes by, let's say a prayer, versus, hey, let's rubber neck to see what happened. You know, no, you stop, me pray.
At 22, 24, and 26, my children still do that.
Do they?
Yes.
And as well as, you know, calling out when one kid's not treating another kid very nice, they say, hey, you know, that's not how we act. Mm-hmm. We're better than that. You know, you have to be kind. And so it's not to say that we have the perfect community and every child is a little angel every single moment of the day. But when you have that faith-based center, as we, us parents do, and the children as well, you have something to go by. You've got a, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a Bible that says this is how you're supposed to act, and the teachers help them with that as well. That's one of my big highlights anyway for faith-based education. It's priceless.
I initially thought that because when my children were very young, I volunteered quite extensively in the building and was refreshed as a Catholic by what I was surrounded with. And yet there was a time when I had to step back from my volunteering and stay home and didn't have that everyday access to the school. And yet my two children enrolled in Catholic education. The messages that they brought home to me surrounded me with what I needed at that time. And then what I did was went and got hired by the Catholic schools. And so now
can't get
I'm
enough of it.
Exactly.
Now they can't get rid of you.
So whether you're a parent who's right there hands on or has an obligation that keeps you outside of the school during the time when your child is there, that just constant, literally 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, reinforcement of our faith, for me, has changed the focus of my life, has had me looking and acting and doing all kinds of things very differently than I think I would have had we taken another route, and I'm very grateful for it.
We are surrounded, you know, here in Grand Rapids with wonderful school districts.
Absolutely.
Kimberly, you live in the Rockford School District,
yep.
correct?
Yep.
Yeah. And Maureen, you're in Ada?
Mm-hmm. I'm
right.
Forest Hills.
I'm Forest Hills. Okay, and Susan, you're in East,
mm-hmm.
right?
Wonderful
At least
school.
Until you move, unless we tell you you can't.
And we're working on it.
Yeah, and they're all fabulous schools. I mean, you can't deny the fact that they're wonderful schools, but they get to a certain point and then they have to stop. You know, I think back when any catastrophe has happened, and we all can recite some big ones in the last 10, 12 years. But when you get to that point, and I was in a public school during 9/11, I was doing some student teaching, and they shut all the windows so that the kids couldn't see out, and they shut the windows to the teacher's lounge where they had the TV going so that the kids couldn't see, which was appropriate, I felt. But you could sense in the people there that what they really wanted to do was drop and pray. But because it was a public school, you couldn't.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I think that when we come up against some of life's situations, whether they're good or they're bad, we celebrate. When babies are born, we celebrate with prayer. We had a family this year lose their baby. And we made that baby our guardian angel. You know, we pray for her every day and celebrate her life. But we also mourn with that family, and we do that through prayer. And I think that sense of prayer, that sense of faith, being part of what we do as educators and joining our faith with yours as parents, takes that excellent education to a level that nobody else can do that.
That's right.
And I think when you say why Catholic schools, right there is your reason why.
That's right. And I pray that always people will be running not away from public schools because they don't have a choice.
Right.
I pray for excellence in all schools and that people are running to Catholic schools because they see the difference that Catholicism can make in the education. And I'll lighten the mood a little bit because so my niece and nephew were just they couldn't be stopped, and they're crying because they remembered that they missed their cat one day. Now, the cat had passed away 2 months earlier, but it was the middle of a weekend where all the family was there, and my father-in-law, awesome guy, is very matter-of-fact, and he said, why are they crying? The cat passed away 2 months ago. And little Josie at the time, now she's almost six, but I think she was four, and she went up to Declan and Marin, those are my niece and nephew, and said, well, everybody dies. It's going to be okay. And my father-in-law said, right there, it takes a four-year-old to point out the obvious. And I think that there's a comfort level. I mean, Josie went through, as all kids do, a fascination with death. And so we were out at St. Andrew Cemetery with one of our parishioners who is a fantastic volunteer. He's just done wonderful things with the Catholic cemeteries in the area. And they were walking around talking about death. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a cycle of our lives. And it's an essential and a joyous occasion in the progress of our spiritual life. And again, that I sound like a broken drum, but for me, there is constantly that death. Depth of learning versus, you know, wonderful friends of mine are public school teachers. I myself taught serendipitously at DePaul University in my early career. And I just never realized the end of the road comes very short in topical conversations at the public schools. And we can keep going with lots of added discussion when we were sitting in a community of faith.
That's exactly correct.
Amen, sister.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't we want her for president or something?
But I already asked.
I think we did, but she's moving.
Yes. But no, you're exactly correct. And what I find amazing when I walk through the halls, not only of our Catholic school, but of Catholic schools in the area, and I've been able to visit a few of them this year, is that just as you're saying, when the colors change in the fall, or when the first snow comes, or when the buds are sprouting on the trees, there's not only the scientific explanation for all of it, but there's the God portion of it. Mm-hmm. And that is what becomes so delightful to hear, the levels of conversation and the explanation for things and the prayers and hopes and wishes for all of us. So I just think it's just complementing everything in our world that children are able to learn and blend their faith with their learning from every angle. It makes it exciting for all of us.
And it seeps into their lives, too.
Exactly.
You know, just like the whole ambulance example. It's like, how am I going to look at this through God's eyes, you know, or how am I going to speak with God speaking through me? How, you know, my heart, how would God feel about that? And so I think that's again, just going back to a investment in your child's spiritual life. I would drive an hour every day, or, you know, I mean, for us, it means giving up maybe family vacations to be able to send my son to, you know, a Catholic school or St. Thomas. So, and it's worth every penny.
Well, and I was blessed to be able to be in Catholic schools myself. Myself and my four sisters went to a Catholic school, and I got to see my mom and dad do all the things that I'm doing right now with Mike, coached, and, you know, the PTA and the whole business. And I know when my twin and I were enrolled in Catholic Central High School, back where we're from, it closed the summer before we were going to go. And we almost went to Canada to continue our Catholic education. It was that important. And I saw my parents really struggling with this, like, wow, we could maybe do this. I mean, it was no way it would be financially possible for us to have done that. And they said, well, you can go to the public high school and not wear uniforms, or you can go to the Catholic high school in Canada and have to go for an extra grade, 13 grades in Canada. You know, what do you want to do? They asked us what we wanted to do. And my twin Colleen and I, we said, We'll go to the public school. That'd be okay. And that year was the very first year they suddenly had a bunch of Catholic kids in there because Catholic Central was closed. And I can still remember the conversations the teachers had with our parents. They could tell right away who we were. They knew. Mm-hmm. And my parents always would tell us, and I say the same thing to my kids almost every day, and they're sick of it. Just, I always say, remember who you are. Right. Just remember who you are. Mm-hmm. We know who we are, Mom. You don't have to tell us.
And it's almost like, when getting back to Kimberly for a minute, we always talk in our family about the weaving of a fabric of your life. And when you're weaving at the early, early years, it's so exciting because you put in a new color of something. But then as you're getting older, like my children, and I know Susie, your boys are as well, it's amazing the pattern that your fabric has woven and where they can see where they might have had a crisis and faith came into play there, where they had joy and faith came into play there, where they had community with their friends outside of our family, faith came into play there. It's amazing the kind of life's tapestry that they've made.
I know none of you are going to believe this, but occasionally kids get in trouble and
no.
get sent to my
hand. No, never.
they just make a poor decision.
They don't do it on purpose to see you, though.
Yeah, I would like to think that.
Get candy in the principal's office.
Oh, don't tell anybody that.
You probably just hug them and say you're cute.
No, actually, you know what? Some of those are always my favorite days when somebody makes a mistake like that, because that is the other beautiful thing about a Catholic school, is that our faith enters even into that realm. And to sit across from a child and hold their hands and pray with them and to be able to say, you know, you've made a mistake. What do we do to make this right? Oftentimes we end up over in the Eucharistic chapel and take a few moments of adoration and just the look on their faces when they leave, you know, hopefully no child leaves my office feeling like they're in trouble. Typically they don't. Typically they walk out with a smile on their face because they've just owned what happened and made it right, not just with the other person, but they've also made it right with God. And that's a privilege to be in this position. I can't imagine not having my faith to fall back on when I'm working with a child that's gotten themselves in trouble.
But on the flip side, if I may toss in there again at the early childhood level, another aspect of it is when an individual has perhaps made a choice that's not right, and you've had that conversation, the other individual who the injustice has been done to now has to think about forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the beauty.
That's the whole story.
Can I say something too that's
sure
really
can.
Cute? My sister lives in the East, and she's got four kids in the East schools, which are, you know, award-winning school systems, mm-hmm. we all know. And I told her the story years ago, and she still tells her friend. She just thinks this is the funniest story, but like not funny in a funny way, funny in a great way. I was waiting at the car pickup area with lots of moms, and the kids were coming out, and I was with one of my girlfriends, and her little boy was coming out, and he was very upset. You could see something was going on, and she's like, well, what is it? And he said, oh, I got to pray for self-control again. Like we all get something to pray for. Like, you know what? Let's have you pray for self-control tomorrow. And he was like really torn up about it. And she's like, oh, that's a good one. We can do that. And when I told my sister Trish about that, she's like, oh my gosh, I could list 25 kids that I wish they would have been sent out with that message. Pray for self-control. But he probably did pray for self-control. And the next day was probably a whole new day, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
It was cute.
Because we only have a few short moments left, if you could make a recommendation to families that, whether they are early childhood families, middle school children, that later elementary age, what type of thing, would you recommend they look for in a school? What would you say, make sure that this is something that you should make note of, I know it's revisiting some of the things that we've said, but whether it's parent involvement, atmosphere, principal, whatever the case might be. So what would you say to them for parting words?
Parent involvement. You've got to be able to get in that school at any given day without an appointment. You need to be able to walk through those hallways and see what's going on. And that's always open to us at St. Thomas with a bunch of little handshakes from kids along the way. And I know other areas, parents are never allowed in the school. And that to me is a little scary. So I think be able to get in there.
I agree with that. You know, the parent involvement, but also from the volunteer standpoint, how involved are the parents in that school? What is their volunteer rate? Because that's what makes that sense of community, that you know your child is safe because you've got another 200 moms looking out for your kid. And of course, you know, the whole faith-based thing, not only is it a community, but it's a community that reaches out, that whole sense of service, because that takes the focus off of you as the individual or your child as the individual and says, what can I do for you? How can I make this world a better place?
Don't you think it's a community that has purpose and direction? That's what I think our faith yeah. community is. We have a purpose and we have a direction, and everyone is moving that way, and I think we're all a team with that.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Okay, go ahead, Susan. What would you?
Well, again, based on the wonderful learning that we had in the tour with Principal Furtwängler, look at who children become after the education that they receive at the particular school that you're looking at. It mattered greatly to us to hear, you know, a Catholic Central, that is, St. Thomas is one of the feeder schools, as many great schools are. The Catholic Central Junior last year, I'm going to get the details slightly wrong, but go with me for a minute, received the highest ACT score in Grand Rapids area. That mattered immensely to us. Somebody mentioned the shaking of the hands as children, middle schoolers, pass you in the hallway. That matters immensely to us.
Look you in the eye and greet you.
That matters immensely. Talk to your preschool child, even though they're very cool middle schoolers. That mattered immensely to us. I mean, Josie gobbles her lunch on Tuesdays and Thursdays as a kindergartner so she can go hang out with her friends, which are the seventh and eighth graders, who always have a place for her. Josie's devastated. I should be devastated to know that she's not really invited to go to the movies with them. But they treat her like a dear friend, and that is important to us because we have two children and they're 10 years apart. So they each kind of were raised as only children. So that sense of, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ is very, very important. And then I think besides the factors, because all too often, I can speak for my husband and I, we are the spreadsheet people, sit down, weigh the factors, the pros, the cons of each of the school options. And we do have the luxury of a very good public school system around us. I would invite parents to give themselves time in their own spiritual journey and open up the decision to prayer. Let God in the decision, which I know, I wish somebody would have said that to me, because I sure let my brain in. I'm not sure that I let my soul in at all aspects. And thankfully, God was there for me and helping us make the right decision, not necessarily the decision that intellectually we might have made. Mm-hmm. But we ended up exactly where we needed to be for our daughter. And I would echo what Maureen said, that it's been a growth in our spiritual journey as much as it's been in our children's spiritual journey, for sure.
And I got to add to your comment about the junior hires. That is another thing that really, when I did move out of the city proper, that is keeping me at St. Thomas, is that 7th and 8th grade retreat, or the 7th grade retreat, that prepares them to be servant leaders in eighth grade. Hated middle school. Hated it. You know, and I look at our junior hires and the confidence that they have and the willingness to reach down to the younger kids and put their arm around them and guide them and help them and befriend them and stuff. Where else are you going to get that?
You don't get that when they're in
public school,
elementary, and then they're in a seventh and eighth grade situation. And then they're in high school, and they're never leaders. They're always young. They're always experiencing new things. And I I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's something that is a huge benefit to St. Thomas. For families that have one child or, you know, five or six, that they're not possibly making multiple stops, that they can really all be together. It's a big deal and really special that we have that.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, we just want to thank you for coming today and taking your time out of your busy schedule and time, more importantly, away from the classrooms and the children that you would undoubtedly be with today, and just to talk about Catholic education and what it's meant to you. So, listeners that are listening right now to Holy Family Radio, we just ask you to pray and to, if you aren't currently involved in a Catholic school, to consider that, because that's really a very beautiful place.
Thank you very much, ladies. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.